are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
We are back with the ninth episode. Actually, these may air out of order here.
Careful numbering things.
Yeah, it could be at the end. It could be like the Bible code.
You'll have to put it all together.
You have to put it all together to figure it out. The next episode of God Geeks. My name's Bill Brimer.
James Cleland.
And we are your two geek co-hosts here, and today we are fresh off a viewing of the latest epic movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
Titanic 2.
Yeah, Titanic 2, except Tom Hardy plays the love interest in this one. The Revenant. And it's an epic movie. There's a lot that happens in it that we're going to talk about. So if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and hit stop on the podcast, because it will definitely spoil the movie if you haven't seen it. So we'll give you a chance to do that now. But I want to, before we get into that, just touch again kind of each time. I think we will just maybe explain a little bit what the sort of the purpose of the podcast is and sort
why
of
why we're here.
Yeah, what we're setting out to do. So James, if you can get us started on our premise.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to use a word that I think will come up in our discussion of The Revenant. Breath. God breathed breath. So I think sustaining, God sustains everything, so he's part of the world. He got it going. He's still here. And it's hard to separate him from culture, right? Separate him from our lives or any of those things. So I think that's kind of what we're doing here. So we're talking about everything, pop culture, movies, music, whatever, and looking for God's truth in those things. Does that make sense?
I think that's a great explanation for it. When you say God breath, he sustains everything, he began everything. Talk a little bit more about what that means to you.
What it means to me, man, I kept thinking about it in The Revenant, actually. So they kept talking about as long as there's breath, you're alive. Yeah. So I guess in a way, if God weren't breathing life into everything, it wouldn't be alive.
Right.
So he including everything.
Yeah.
So
there's some powerful theology there, especially if you think about the very beginning of Genesis, and obviously the language there is Hebrew, and I am not fluent in Hebrew, but I know people who are.
I have the internet that helps. Yeah, sometimes.
That's right. BibleHub.com, by the way, which is a great resource. But if you'll take a look at the original meaning of spirit, it means wind and breath in Hebrew. The word's actually ruach, which we translate as spirit a lot of times, and it's literally breath or wind. In the New Testament, which is written in ancient Greek, the word pneuma also translates to spirit and also means breath or wind. And so there is a very tangible reality to spiritual things, and that is sort of the idea behind the podcast. God geeks. I mean, we're geeks about theology. We're geeks about God, and we're geeks about, you know, films and music and these kinds of things. And so I think you said it well. We're just looking for, actually, we're just enjoying art. We're enjoying the beauty. We're enjoying songs, and we can't help but notice or have it brought out to us. Maybe it's by the Ruach, the Pneuma, of God, that He's everywhere, and all good things come from Him. And so, that being said, we'll dive right into the Revenant, and you've already touched on it a little bit. There's quite a few. Obviously, there's no way to know whether these hints or these things in the film were intentional by the writers and the directors.
I don't know. I haven't researched them enough.
But there's definitely a lot of spiritual stuff in this film. It's a very long film.
Yeah, how long? Two and a half hours.
I think it's two and a half hours long.
Although that's not the longest film this season. But
let's before we get in sort of the spiritual stuff, let's kind of go over the story. Like, what did you think of the movie? Like,
I thought it was great. It reminds me of a lot of survival movies. You know, going back to the great Benji the Hunted. I don't know if you've seen that one. But, it actually reminded me a lot of that.
That's up there in your epics.
Yeah. But there was a Liam Neeson movie not too long ago. Reminded me of this. I love a good movie with survival. And then I hate to say this, but there's a side of me that loves a good revenge movie too.
Right.
I don't know if revenge is the right word. A justice movie.
I don't know. Hate to say it. It's only a film.
It's only a film. But it was a theme. I mean, they said revenge multiple times. I mean, it's there. So revenge and survival and justice and family. I mean, it was all in there. And I loved how it played out.
So you had Leonardo DiCaprio, who was Hugh Glass.
Hugh Glass, a scout for...
Evidently a real guy.
A real guy, yeah. There's you know, people argue about what all happened. So this is definitely an inspired by movie, not a historical account.
Right.
I think they took some elements from other stories, too. But, so he's helping an expedition into the Dakotas. I'm thinking like North Dakota, South Dakota, something like that. And at least in real life it was. Did you figure out where they were?
Missouri. They had to be in the north, obviously, just from the weather, but the Sioux Indians were involved, and the Pawnee.
And then the Ree, they kept saying.
Right, so and they certainly weren't in Texas.
No, it looked kind of like the Badlands at times.
The antagonist is played by Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Who?
Gosh, he was good in this.
I'll tell you what. I'm just going to go ahead and say, this is one of those films. I like to talk about a movie, almost like. Part of the experience for me is the preview, like seeing the preview, you know, and kind of leading up and getting excited about a movie for a while.
I like the build up.
I like to geek out a little bit about it a little bit beforehand. Like I know at the end of the preview if I'm going to go see a movie and there was zero doubt in my mind at the end of the preview for this that I was going to see it. Basically, the Lord's return or death was the only thing that was going to keep me from seeing this movie because I was so excited by the preview.
Yeah.
And I thought, the more that I saw and kind of heard about it, now you're talking like, Leonardo DiCaprio, potential Oscar stuff is kind of been going around.
Yeah.
And you know,
he got a couple doorstops for it already. Golden Globes and whatnot.
Yeah, he's, you know.
There's buzz.
And what I would say about Leonardo DiCaprio, I like him. I don't understand. There's some Leonardo haters out there.
Yeah, I don't get it anymore. He's totally proven himself.
I think he's been in several really good films, and I think he's a very exceptional actor. I think if he wanted to win an Oscar, for this movie, he should have played Tom Hardy's character because I feel like Tom Hardy stole the show.
You think so?
I thought the bear was great. Yeah, right. The bear. Yeah, the bear was epic. I mean,
so you think he would have done better in that role?
I don't know. I actually don't think he could have done any better in the role that he was in.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he did anything wrong. I think he did an excellent job. I just don't think that role lends itself to necessarily a nomination, but not a win.
Okay. So it's not in the bag for him. I do think
what will be interesting to see if either one of these guys is nominated for an Academy Award, if Tom Hardy gets it or not, because I would say this, he's one of the best bad guys, most believable backwoods sort of, you just never doubted that who he was. Oh, yeah. And he sold it, and there was several scenes where he just drew you in.
Yeah.
And there was no...
Well, you had to lean in a little bit to understand what he was saying.
That was a tough thing.
I think they did that on purpose.
That was a tough thing with the movie, I felt like, in the very beginning. I actually felt like, first of all, they will win an Oscar for the cinematography.
They better.
Because I've never seen...
That'll be 2 years in a row for that director.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Except for Birdman. Which was also directed by...
I didn't realize the same director until...
You're right.
Crazy
and that was
tracking shots in this one too.
But this was the scenes. It reminded me. The opening scenes reminded me very much of like a Saving Private Ryan sort of epic.
Yeah.
A beach in Normandy.
Yeah.
Where you're just you have to see this in the theater because there are moments in the film where you're like, it doesn't get any better. Hollywood can't do it any better than they're doing it right now.
No, it was top of
so
game.
So that was the effects and the cinematography. I felt like was next level. Tom Hardy was next level. Leonardo DiCaprio was very good. I felt like the film was a very good film, but I think I would have cut about 30 minutes out of it.
Okay.
Because here's why. Like, it was so brutal, and I'm all for brutal.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is you had to suspend belief several times.
You did.
Because
how could he possibly be walking
right,
at certain points?
I'm just like there were actually I think there's 30 minutes in there of Hugh Glass torture.
Yeah.
That. Could have been, I could have done without it. Oh, not because I'm worried about the violence. I'm not. It's a rated R film. It earns the rated R rating. It's as horrific in some scenes as any horror movie that you're going to go to.
Yeah.
And very well done.
Yeah.
You never think twice about it. I just felt like, maybe the movie was too long.
And it
was just a little bit too much of the same sort of, now this is happening to him.
And stealing scenes from Empire Strikes Back.
I mean, there, that's perhaps one of the scenes that you could have done without.
Yeah, going off the cliff and...
All of that, I think... Yeah. It's a little bit like you're just kind of going, okay, Hollywood, y'all lost in your own story here.
And for all we know, all that did happen to the guy. But I just don't see that happening.
I don't think that it takes much common sense to know that. Yes, you could probably survive a bear attack because people have.
Yeah, yeah.
You could probably be shot and live.
Yep.
You could have because people
fall
have.
Fall off a cliff.
You can. I don't know if you could fall off a cliff. Branches might break the fall on the way down.
Yeah.
Hypothermia. You could probably survive any of those things, but all of those things and. Actually, probably some of the simple stuff like drinking the water that he drank and eating raw meat. Would have probably killed you.
Possibly.
Hypothermia definitely would have killed you.
Lose some fingers at least.
I mean, but it's a movie, so you're not...
There is willing suspension of disbelief.
And what I would say is that I do think the over-the-topness of his torture, if you will, led up to one scene, which I felt was the impact moment of the film.
Okay.
That was the scene where he finally got back to the fort And he's like, you can't go back out there. And he's like, I ain't afraid to die no more. I've already done that.
Yeah. Which, the title of the film.
Revenant. Right.
Someone who's come back to life from the dead.
Yeah. And that is the whole Christian life, really. I mean, to slide right back into God geek talk is that as a Christian, you know, what the scriptures tell us, you're buried with Christ in your baptism and you're raised with him. And, you know, when you gather together as his church and you hear, you confess your sins and you hear absolution, you know, and the law kills you and the gospel brings you to life and you receive the sacrament. And there was a sacrament scene in there too, as well. Where he was offered the sacrament. So there was a lot of, but I felt like that was the scene for me where it was like, I'm not afraid to die anymore because I've already done that. And
that resonates.
That's the Christian hope.
Yeah.
For me, that's why it stuck out to me. It hit me right in the heart because I pray that, you know, through the Christian life that God has me living, I'm daily dying and coming back to life. And that when I finally do die, I'll say, I've done this before.
Yeah.
You know, Christ has always risen me from the dead. So my hope is that he'll do that again. And so, that was a powerful scene to me.
Yeah.
You tell me what, you know, I've babbled on about what I thought about the film.
I think I agree with you on most, there were moments where it just felt a little over the top, sure. I think slipping into the willing suspension of disbelief helps with this film. And then maybe you start to see even more the message, the thematic moments. And I think it all fits within what you're saying. I mean, he is dead. He's dead by the end. And what else could kill him? You know,
it might be interesting to kind of go back and kind of figure out if they mean that he really was
dead.
I mean, maybe there's another layer down there.
There could be. So, okay, let me ask you this. Does he die at the end? I think that's the debate with everyone who's seen it.
Okay. I did not. Well, here's the problem. I think I didn't get that he died at the end.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Because the thing is he, you know, and this goes back to kind of my point, and not to be too much of a critic of the film, because that's not what we're here to do, but it's just, I'm just pointing out, I think there were at least three dream sequences where he's in the spirit world, maybe four, where he sees his wife.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you have to ask yourself, was he dying, you know? Maybe there's something there. Filmmaker is he really is doing this dying and coming back to life kind of thing. And maybe he's never real. Maybe all this stuff is in a spiritual realm kind of deal after, you know, after the bear. Who knows?
Yeah. But this reminds me a lot of Lost now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
a bear and coming back to life.
Well, I mean, we've already suspended, you know, belief in what's really happening to him. He just keeps, like he said, I've already died.
He's already died, yeah.
You know?
And I don't think anything that happens at the end is more severe than what he's already gone through.
No.
And then breath, from the very moment at the beginning of the film, it's about as long as you're breathing, you've got a chance as long as you're breathing. And at the end,
you hear
it
him
ends
breathing
with his breath.
Yeah, you hear him breathing. And he sees, and he's been seeing his departed wife throughout the film.
Right. So, an interpretation I saw was that he represents European civilization, etc. And him living on, him breathing on, is meant to signify that the Native American tribal way is dying and you just can't kill American imperialism.
Right.
So that, I mean, that's one lens you could see it through. I don't know if I totally see that.
That's an interesting perspective. I think I'm with you in that. I think you maybe, if that's what they were going for,
I hope it's not what they're going for.
I don't see it. I think that's already built into the movie that,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of violence between the two.
Yeah.
And
I think it's deeper and more spiritual.
Yeah.
What spiritual take they're trying to take on it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it goes deeper than a political message, I think.
Yeah, there's
a historical message.
There's some pretty interesting... there's a lot of spiritual, cultural mixing into a pot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
we see a lot nowadays, don't we?
We do. It's a reflection of, I think, people's viewpoint that that all things spiritual are sort of good.
Yeah, your truth is.
Yeah, yeah. It's all kind. I mean, there's another big part of this film that's I think a big part of our culture, which if I said to you what this is, you would say, oh, we don't do that. If I said to you you know, in some parts of Africa and a lot of tribal areas, they practice animism, which is communication with the dead. And it gets them in a lot of trouble spiritually because what we know from the scriptures is you can't speak to the dead. You're not really speaking
to the dead.
You're actually speaking to perhaps some dark spirits of some sort. And that's nothing new. I mean, there's voodoo and all these things. But if I said that kind of thing happens, we would think to ourselves, we don't do that. But the reality is, you see people speaking to the dead all the time. You see posts on Facebook and Twitter about someone talking to their mother who's passed on, or their father who's passed. Yes, you see people going to a grave and
film all the time.
Yeah, and in this film, animism plays a huge part of it, and he's being visited by the ghost of his wife. She's speaking to him in dreams. The same with his son, which there's some touching, really tough scenes.
It's really hard for me to watch father son father daughter being torn apart in films now. I have a daughter now, and it hits you.
It changes everything when you're a parent.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that gets me to maybe one of the other themes or topics of the film, I should say, revenge. I mean, I feel for this guy. I want to hunt down Tom Hardy also. Not Tom Hardy, but his character.
Tom Hardy's already
he's a
good
nice
actor.
Guy, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, we want him to keep making movies. So,
but, I mean, you root for him. You root for him knowing full well what will this get him. It will not bring him peace, I don't think.
No.
And I think it hits on that at the end.
There is. So that was a surprise to me.
That was to me,
that
too.
That was well done.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of thinking, you know, you know how this is going to end, you know, and it actually doesn't go that way. There's quite a bit of, I was quite surprised by that. Especially the extent to which they brutalized each other at the end, you know,
and then
actually kill him, but he sure contributed to that.
And I mean, he knows full well, okay, I'm going to put him in this river. They'll take care of him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still killing him. But what he said, I think if I get this right, is revenge is God, is God's. Did he say that?
In God's hands.
In God's hands.
He said the same.
Is that a misquoting of scripture, or?
Well, actually, that's what the Pawnee guy that found him.
Yeah, he had said that.
He
too.
Said that too.
Yeah.
I think he was repeating that. Vengeance is mine,
vengeance
saith
is mine,
the
saith
Lord.
Okay, it's a similar.
Yeah, don't go after people seeking revenge, because God is the one who's just and he'll take care of it is the premise behind that. But I would say, you know, that's probably pretty biblical.
Yeah.
You know, revenge is in God's hands. Let it go.
Let it go.
Like, you know,
okay.
You're not called to go after
So wording slightly different, but the concept.
But I think you know.
Which that was not where I thought they were going. That's the thematic statement of the movie. Yeah, that really is.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think. Well, I'll tell you what.
25 minutes already.
It is. This is the end of this episode. It's a good film. If you can handle the ultra-violent content, I would recommend.
If you've seen Last of the Mohicans, you can handle this. And probably should.
Right, and it's been a while since I've seen that. Thanks for joining us for another episode of God Geeks, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
God Geeks.